With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
A lot of baseball talk, as you can well imagine, because we're now just 10 days away from the restart to the Major League Baseball season, but we've still got some hurdles to get over. Here to talk about that with us, the entire Major League Baseball scene, but Mets specific. You see him on SNY covering the Mets. He talks about the entire Major League Baseball outlook every day on Sirius XM's MLB Network Radio. Oh, by the way, he used to be general manager of the Mets and the Orioles. Jim Duquette joins us here on The Fan. Jimmy D, how you be?
Jody, everything is good. We're staying healthy, sane as well. I hope the same is with you and your house.
I'm good. I got my jet mask in the mail today, so now I'm well represented when I go to the store for my big trip out to the supermarket, 2.2 miles from my house. Thank you for asking. All right, but you're going to have to start sneaking out a little bit, maybe if SNY gets their studios open.
Yeah.
It's all the teams in Major League Baseball are practicing. They are performing social distancing, but we're getting tests, and I would say the restart to this point has been okay.
Yes.
How would you describe it?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, there were hiccups that first week with the 4th of July and getting some of the test results. That was, you know, I thought problematic and a big concern. It seemed like things settled down during the course of the week. We'll see if we get complaints here through the weekend now. I think they settled that issue with the shipping and, you know, the 4th of July weekend, and then I think they've gotten a sense there with the lab as well, getting the test back. So I think for the most part, it's been good. It's been occasional hiccups, but not as many as we saw the first week. So I think that helps. I also think the testing, the positive test since, you know, the intake test. So they had the intake test of about 3,500 or so samples, and they had, I think it was overall 58 positives for the players. It was like a little under 2% overall. Now we've got the workouts going on, and I think we've had 13 players, 4 staff, over 7,400 tests so far. That doesn't count the Chapman test, and but that's a pretty small number. Hopefully they'll continue to keep it that small.
Right, and from what we can tell, they're doing pretty good diligence in just that. We also have a change in the game this upcoming year with the designated hitter coming to the National League, which gets me into the Mets. All the reports this week were, Yoenis Cespedes looks great at the bat. He's swinging it. He's taking it out of the park. His swing looks just like it did 4 years ago. But he's not moving all that well in the time that he's spent in the outfield. I continue to hear that the Mets want him to play in the field so they can use that DH as an extension to the lineup and be able to move guys in and out of it. Are they really going to take a chance of putting Cespedes out there often on defense?
I'd be surprised if they do that. I think, you know, remember now he does get a bonus for making the opening day roster. Now it'll be prorated. So, you know, that part of it's going to have to factor in. I think the standard, you know, that before they had the universal DH was, can you play the field? So I think they're trying to create a standard there too. I wouldn't say that's the only reason why they're talking about him playing the field, but yeah, I think most teams that I've spoken to around the National League, I just talked to Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers, Michael Hill with the Marlins, they're planning on using that DH spot and rotating it around. I think the Mets would like to do that ideally. And so, you know, I think that on occasion you'd like to play him out there in the outfield, but I don't think you should play him out there very much, you know. And I think early on they might rotate it around, you know, but, you know, to keep everybody, you know, fresh and getting their at-bats. But I think as the season goes on, you'll see one guy in the National League per team almost, you know, settle in for that role. And I think Cespedes will be that guy for the Mets if he can stay healthy.
One of the guys who could be in the rotation for the Mets DH is Robinson Cano, who is still okay at second base. He's not Gold Glove level like he once was in his career. He doesn't kill you out there, but he doesn't help you either. So he would make a good fit for a part-time DH role. He hasn't been in the field, hasn't been in the cage, hasn't been to the last couple of Met workouts. Know that all information is tightly guarded these days. Yeah. Anybody give you at least a hint at why Robinson Cano has missed some Met workouts?
It is hard to find that one out. I have not been able to find out either. You know, and I think that part of it, you know, it's you know, it's a little concerning. Just, you know, we've seen players from the Dominican Republic, you know, a fair amount of them come over and test positive. Some of them were asymptomatic. I mean, it could be along those lines. Who knows? It's really difficult to tell. And I think that's the thing that I'm not a big fan of this COVID-19, you know, IL that, you know, you have to sit there and guess or speculate. This is something league-wide. They have to really decide and reconsider this. There's no stigma that's attached to it, at least around the game and the league, and especially when the season gets going. I think they're going to have to reevaluate that and change that so we would know for sure. But I do not know, you know, at the end what is going on with Robinson.
Fair enough. Met pitching staff is going to be huge for them this year. Without Syndergaard, the heavy lifting has been passed on. Certainly it's on Jacob DeGrom, but part of it on Steven Matz as well, who's had a couple of years to establish himself in the big leagues. He's not a top-level pitcher, but he's a guy who deserves a spot in the rotation. What does he have to do this year to take that next step up and become maybe a number two behind Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah, I just think that with Steven that it's more about that consistency. You know, there are times where we used to be talking about his mechanics, or we'd be talking about the big inning with him and trying to limit that. And there were times over the last two seasons where he was able to change that conversation and just worry about pitches and making his pitches and, you know, those type of things, which is really what that the really good pitchers do. They're not talking nearly as much about where they are on the mound and everything else. So I think that's where, you know, all right, the curveball's, you know, developing. You know, he's got the good slider, obviously the fastball combination. He seems to have settled down on the middle part of the rubber. He had gone for the first base side on occasion, especially to righties. So I think all of those conversations, you know, eliminating that big inning, it's time for him to step up. And I think he can. I think he'll you know, in this particular situation, you know, it's 12 starts or whatever it's going to be. They need him to be that guy, and I think he can do it.
Fair enough. We're talking to Jim Duquette, former Met GM, now Met analyst on SNY, talks baseball every day on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. I think the Mets have a chance to be a contender this year because there's a couple different reasons, but one as big as any is their pen could be really good. And I think it needs to be because I think this is going to be a pen year. We've become a pen sport, and now maybe even more so this year with this quick restart they're going to try and pitchers not being stretched out and the like. On just pure potential, do the Mets have a chance to have one of the best bullpens in the National League?
Well, I do. I think if they have, you know, if Diaz, Betances, Familia are capable, if two of those three are capable of pitching to, you know, what we're accustomed to, and I don't think that's a stretch. I mean, I think with Diaz, you know, it was a little bit of a new team, a little bit of a, you know, tipping his pitches or throwing across his body in certain instances, the hitters would pick that up. I think, you know, pitching in New York probably got in his head a little bit. The booing didn't help. I think all of those factors, you know, were there. So for him, I don't think it takes that much to get back on track. So for me, I'll bet on him. But Betances, you know, I haven't seen the velocity yet. You know, it's been low 90s so far. We know where he usually is when he's pitching well. I think that'll come back once there's, you know, as you know, we get closer to the start of the season, and we get new, you know, different hitters at the plate versus his own. So I think I don't have concerns about him. We know how good Lugo is. Justin Wilson, I think, is underrated. Gesellman is a guy that throws strikes. So I like all of them. You know, Familiar to me is interesting because if he can, you know, get back to what he's capable of, then that's that extra depth that you're looking for. I still think if they have five deep like they are now, and I'm not sure what the Brad Brock situation is yet. You know, he hasn't reported, but he's capable of pitching really well. Also, you've seen that over the years. Yeah, I do think they're going to have a good bullpen. It stacks up well with the Braves and the Nationals, and that's going to be the important thing.
One key bullpen question for me is going to be, you threw out about five or six names, most of which are right-handed.
Yes.
Do they have enough depth coming from the other side? I know the philosophy of baseball these days is, give me the best pitcher, and the matchups have to be righty-lefty, lefty-righty as they used to be, but every once in a while you get a guy, the numbers are just so stark, you got to get a left-hander in there against him. Do the Mets have enough left-handed depth out of their pen?
Well, I don't really think they do overall. I mean, I think, you know, Zamora's been a little hit or miss. He's like the, you know, the second lefty in a bullpen. I don't think he's a primary guy to come in and, okay, game's on the line. Here comes Bryce Harper. You're not bringing in Daniel Zamora. You're probably bringing in Justin Wilson. I think I like Wilson, you know, in that particular role, but he's not, you know, necessarily that prototypical lefty. He gets lefties and righties out. So, but I you know, I think that, you know, that's where the stuff of Betances can counteract that as well. If you're seventh or eighth inning and the game's on the line, you're going to go to Betances or Lugo with a lefty up there. I think that's where they're going to have to be able to handle that type of role, you know, in the middle of the, you know, every team's lineup. Freddie Freeman, when he's healthy and back, they're going to have to face him, not necessarily the lefty.
All right. When the Mets make a change in center field this year, if Nimmo is out there, got a couple of hits, but they've got a lead to protect in the eighth inning, and you've got one of the best defensive center fielders in the league on your bench in Jake Marisnyk, is Nimmo coming out, or is Nimmo being relocated to a different position to potentially upgrade the defense even more?
Well, it depends. You know, so, if, yes, definitely Nimmo's going to the other position if Cespedes is out there. If it's J.D. Davis, probably. You know, like you said, Marisnyk is an exceptional defender. So, you know, I do think, though, that, you know, for the most part, you will take Nimmo and move him to that other position in that sense. And, you know, and just upgrade defensively. That's the other thing about the DH is you could, on occasion, if Nimmo's not swinging it well, just start Marisnyk and bat him down at the bottom of the lineup, especially because I think Rosario's going to have another good season offensively. You could move Rosario up a little bit, too. So they have a lot of options. That's the thing. I really like their offense, the Mets' offense overall. It's one of the better ones in the league. It stacks up, I think, within the division also. So, you know, I think adding that other element of defense will be important for them.
I was going to say, it depends on who you put out there, but what do you think of the Mets' defense?
I mean, I overall I like it. I think, you know, if you know, McNeil's playing mostly third, I think that's the right position for him. You know, I think Rosario, you know, early on had hiccups last year, but he improved as the season went on. You know, second base, I'm not as concerned. I think Cano gets what he gets to if he's out there on a regular basis. You know, and I think Alonso was underrated over at first last year. I thought he really, really improved. I saw him in the minor leagues the year before, and he wasn't good. Last year, it was like a different guy. You could tell he had worked at it. So, you know, I'm assuming that he's been working at it again. And so I think it's at least solid average, and defensively in the outfield, I think it's a chance to at least, again, to be solid average. Might be even a little bit better than that when Marisnyk's out there. So, yeah, I think overall that's where it is. You know, the catching spot for me is still going to be a little problematic. You know, we saw issues last year. I think Ramos worked at it, but it's still not going to be great. But, you know, again, you got him for the bat, too. So, overall, defense will be, I would say, at least an average defensive team, I think, might be even a tick better.
Jim, we saw the schedule when it came out, 60 games, 40 against your division, 20 against the other league, which means a high number, a highest percentage ever of interleague games packed into the schedule.
Yeah.
All East
for
the Mets. That's not necessarily easy because the NL East is not an easy division. Phillies finish fourth, and they look like they can be above 500 this year. And you get everybody in the American League East, and they've got three teams that look like they can be above 500. How tricky a schedule is it for all these teams facing off against each other?
No, I think that's the equalizer. You know, they're all beaten up against each other for the most part. You know, there's other divisions, the Central in particular, in the American League, it's definitely weaker. You know, NL Central plays against the AL Central. That they're, you know, especially with the Tigers and KC, and you know, so I do think that if there's inherent advantages there for those teams. You know, they don't have as many. You know, you have the Orioles, obviously, but you know, I think the Marlins are going to be better this year than what we've seen in the past. So I think it's going to be difficult. I think when I looked at the Mets schedule to end the season. If they don't have a good lead, you know, or somewhere in that hunt for the postseason, you know, Phillies, Braves, Rays, and Nats to end the season. I mean, that is not an easy way to go, you know, the final four series of the year.
Yeah, all the teams are going to have to work. It is a tough schedule for everyone involved, both divisions. I talked about the 2020 schedule. Oh, shoot, we got the 2021 schedule out already.
Crazy.
Now, you did this for a living. You understood the machinations and why certain teams did certain things or baseball did certain things. What's the upside to putting out next year's schedule before you even start this year's schedule?
Yeah, they must have gotten some kind of feedback from the teams that they wanted it out sooner rather than later to try to sell it to their fans. Obviously, there's not going to be many fans in the stands. And so to make good on, you know, and maybe try to convince, you know, some of the season ticket holders to keep their money with the team rather than asking for refunds. There may be some creativity going on the sales side. That was my initial guess was, you know, the teams would have liked to have had it. And we get it. I think we usually get it or used to get it early September, you know, after we looked at it at maybe mid-August or end of August, somewhere along, you know, you'd make tweaks to at least the baseball side would look at it at that point and try to make tweaks to maybe you have an off day on a Thursday rather than a Tuesday. Like that's, you know, see if you could get a getaway, you know, 1 o'clock afternoon game versus a night game. Those are the things that we would tweak from the baseball side. But on the business side, my guess is they're going to try to use that to help with the sales because every team I've spoken to really, really struggling, obviously, on the attendance side. The revenues are really lacking in that area, obviously.
Yeah, they want to get the revenues back when hopefully we've got this coronavirus licked by the time 2021 rolls around. I don't think they're going to be playing in front of fans all year, Jim. I know they're holding out hope.
I agree with you.
Playoffs, maybe World Series. I think we're going to be playing fanless baseball in the stadiums all season. Who will that have the biggest effect on? Batters, pitchers, fielders?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like you know, there's trouble with hitters and pitchers. That overall adrenaline that you usually you feed off of crowds. I think. You know, it's going to be lacking. I feel like it evens out the home road, even though in baseball, home road, you know, isn't a huge advantage. You still had a nice advantage going to certain places, certainly at Yankee Stadiums, you know, in New York when it's loud. You know, some of the big parks, Dodger Stadium. Being in those parks when they're full, it is definitely a home field advantage. Houston, I've been to, you know, those games in the postseason, the World Series. So I think from that standpoint, it evens it out a little bit. I'm not sure hitters. I think early on, pitchers are going to have the advantage no matter what, with or without fans. They're going to be ahead of the hitters, and we'll see if the hitters can catch up. You know, to me, that part of it's going to be interesting to see. Usually, you give them a month to get their feet under them. The hitters, if you wait a month and they still haven't swung it well, you might be out of it. You know, your team might be out of it. So. I think that part of it. The defense, I'm not sure on the defensive side. I feel like at night, you know, I don't know what the backdrop is. I've never seen night games without fans. So
right.
I don't know what that's going to – I don't know if you're going to hear, you know, players complain about that or not.
We're going to have to see. Let it play out. All right, Jimmy, last question, full circle. I asked you about Cespedes to start. Back to designated hitter.
Yep.
We did not have a DH in the NL last year. We're going to have one this year by hook, crook. Tough negotiation. It did get implemented, universal DH. Will we have a DH in 2021 in the NL? Will we have one in 2022?
I think we will have one 2022 and beyond. For next year, I think it's going to become a negotiating point. And you know, I think when you look at the fallout from the negotiations before we got this season, they linked extra postseason teams with the DH. It seemed, and so you know, if they're able to get, you know, this year it was for health and safety. Next year, I don't think we're going to have the same elements and same issues, hopefully, on the health and safety aspect. And so I think getting the players, giving the players the DH, universal DH, because it's an advantage. It's, you know, teams pay a little bit more money for that extra bat. Teams in return are going to want the extra postseason. And I'm not convinced that the Players Association is going to do any favors for the owners. So I think it's a hit or miss on the DH for next year.
Fair enough. Whether it's on the radio or on television, your insight is always top drawer. Jim, it's good catching up with you.
Right,
I hope to see you sometime soon.
Stay healthy.
Thanks, brother.
Goodbye.
That is our buddy, Jim Duquette, former GM of the Mets, now on both SNY and SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.